Our scripture lesson is from John chapter 10. The idea of a shepherd is throughout the Bible. You have it in Ezekiel. Obviously, most of us are very familiar with Psalm 23, maybe one of the most famous and well-loved and known verses in the entire Bible, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But we're going to read from John 10 where Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd. "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." And Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was trying to say to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and out and find pasture." Now this next verse, a lot of Christians know, John 10:10, but they really know 10:10b, which is Jesus saying, "I've come that you may have life, life more abundantly." But we need to know that there's a 10:10a as well. So we should know the whole verse. "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life, and have it abundantly." He continues, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And then to verse 16, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." And lastly, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish." Is it a small wonder that the image of the shepherd was frequently upon the lips of the Savior? It was a part of his heritage and culture. Abraham, the father of the nation, was the keeper of great flocks. Moses was tending the flocks of his father-in-law, Jethro, when God called him into that special service. David was a shepherd boy called in from the fields to be the king of Israel. The image of the shepherd was also imprinted upon the literature of the day. The 23rd Psalm is frequently referred to as the shepherd psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters." When Isaiah spoke of the coming of the Messiah, he worded it by saying, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather his lambs into his arms." Yes, the tradition of the shepherd was very much a part of the heritage of Jesus of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem. And this picture comes more clearly into focus in the New Testament. Jesus once told a story about a shepherd who had 100 sheep. One of them went astray. And in our way of thinking, a 99% return on our investment would be most desirable, but not the shepherd. He left the 99 to go in search of that one lost sheep. Now, I knew a rock band called Audio Adrenaline, and they had one song, the bass player, it was his only song, kind of like Ringo Starr with the Beatles or something. He sang "Leaving 99," and he told the story in song and music about this very story. And he would always, before he sang the song, he would say, tell the story a little bit and say, "I'm so glad he did that for me, that he left the 99 to find and rescue me." So he left the 99 to go in search of the one lost sheep. Later, when Jesus is speaking to a great bunch of people, Mark tells us that he had compassion on them because they were as sheep without a shepherd. So throughout the Judeo-Christian faith, the image of the shepherd's been stamped upon our thinking. In our scripture today, Jesus again taps into this imagery when he refers to himself as the good shepherd. For a few moments this morning, I'd like for us to examine together what he had in mind when he described himself that way. First, we have a shepherd that is a genuine shepherd. There's a Methodist preacher from the Civil War novels, and he tells a story about himself. His name's Larry Daniel. He says, "I will never forget when I got my wife's engagement ring. I'd been saving up money from all of the marriages I had performed to buy an antique musket, an 1864 U.S. Springfield rifle." He says, "Oh, it was beautiful. Instead, I used the money to buy an engagement ring. Greater love has no man than that. But after I had bought the ring, I said to the jeweler, I said, 'Now be honest with me. The deal's made. I can't take back out of it. But can you really tell the difference between a real 1-carat ring and some phony thing I can buy off the shopper's channel on TV?' And he said, 'Well, come around here and look at this. I want to show you something.' He put the light on the 2 rings, the one that I just bought and a phony diamond. Then he gave me his jeweler's eyeglasses. He said, 'Look at this cheap imitation. Look at the one you just bought.' And when I did, I was amazed. My ring sparkled, and the counterfeit one was dull and had no luster." And Jesus said, "Now here are 2 shepherds. Outwardly there seems to be no difference. The skin of both have been bronzed by the sun, weathered by the wind. They both carry a fleece to keep them warm at night. Both carry a shepherd's crook, but one is a genuine shepherd and the other one is counterfeit. One is a shepherd in his heart and the other is a shepherd by hire." It's a gig. It's a job. "On an ordinary day, you would never tell them apart, but let trouble come, let a pack of wolves appear, and then the difference comes out. The counterfeit runs because it's only money to him. He has no ownership, but the real shepherd stays." Jesus said in our text, "I lay down my life for my sheep." This is the difference between the real shepherd and the counterfeit. And here's the good news, friends. I don't care how much trouble comes your way, the good shepherd will never leave your side. He will not desert you in times of trial. That is news that will let you get through the night. That's news that will enable you to keep your sanity. That was enabled for our friend Louise Pumphrey to live a life of joy and victory, even through many difficulties, because she knew herself to be more than a conqueror who loved her. So a genuine shepherd, the real deal. Second, I think that the good shepherd knows his sheep. Sir George Adam Smith tells of being in the Holy Land. He saw several different flocks of sheep all huddled together at a watering hole, and they all looked alike to him. It was simply a mass of white wool. He wondered how the shepherds would ever separate them out. So at the appropriate time, each shepherd gave his own unique call, and in orderly fashion, the sheep divided. Perhaps that's what the good shepherd meant when he said, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." By the way, in Matthew 25, there's another version of the shepherd where you have a judgment story and you have the separation of the sheep and the goats. And that's when Jesus says, you know, the disciple says, "When did we know you, Lord Jesus?" And he said, you know me when you did things to the least of the brethren. You gave them food to eat. You took them, prayed for them, got them out of jail. You helped them. You gave them cold water. You gave them food and clothing. That's when you know that you belong to the good shepherd. Bishop Tullis used to tell the story of a particular census taker who went to a family to gather information. And this was in the mountains. The family was really poor. And he asked the mother, "How many dependents do you have?" And she began, "Well, there's Rosalie and Billy and Luella, our dog Willie." The census taker interrupted her and said, "No, ma'am, that's not necessary. I just need humans." She said, "Well, there's Rosalie and Billy and Luella." Rather exasperated, the census taker interrupted again and said, "No, ma'am, you don't seem to understand. I don't need their names. I just need numbers." And the mother, she innocently replied, "But I don't know them by numbers. I only know them by name." I love that. It strikes me as a rather comforting thought that the great creator of the cosmos, the creator of everything, made everything out of nothing. He knows me by name. He knows my situation. I know that there are those who scoff that the great prime mover of the universe could also be a caring shepherd. But Christianity tells us, yes, that's the way it is. I simply look to the words of the Good Shepherd. He says, I know my sheep. I call them by name. They follow me, and I give them eternal life. About a year ago, a murder took place in a small Mississippi town, and the neighbors who were interviewed on the news, they were all shocked. It seemed impossible to us that the husband did it, they all said. And we knew these people. We knew what was going on in their lives. You see, that's the difference between God and us. God knows. We only think we know. Jesus said, my sheep know me. The question is, are we attuned to God's special voice? I suppose all of us have seen the painting done in the 1930s of a dog looking with a crooked head at a cocked head at an old RCA phonograph record player. And the name on the painting is The Master's Voice. Y'all know that image. I know that in my life I have not always recognized my master's voice. Been too busy, too preoccupied, too self-centered. Sometimes, frankly, I'm afraid to hear his voice, for I know he'll say that something I may not want to hear. But I know it's important for me to hear once again the words of the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. So the Good Shepherd also includes other sheep, Jesus says. I have other sheep too, and they are not of this fold. I must bring them in also. Now here's the question for this morning. You know, what is an oxymoron? It's a combination of contradictory terms. They seem to cancel each other out. For example, bittersweet, you know, the classics, jumbo shrimp, authentic reproduction, University of, name your choice, football, House Ethics Committee, that's kind of a good one, right? So let me get you another one, Good Shepherd. Certainly to the modern ear, there's nothing contradictory about that. Until we learned that in the ancient world, shepherding was really not considered the romantic, humble occupation we kind of think of it today. Shepherds were looked upon as gypsies or looked upon in some parts of Europe today. They're dirty, they're thieves, they're despised. Under the Jewish law, a shepherd could not be a witness in a trial. Yet they're the ones that God revealed the birth of his son to. Our God is so beautiful and creative and weird. You can't help love our Lord God, our Heavenly Father. Anyways, the shepherds were notorious liars. So just when we think we got shepherds figured out, Jesus throws us a loop and uses the term good shepherd. You see, in God's flock, there are going to be so many people that you do not expect. There are some people who are not of my fold, and of course he's speaking of the Gentiles, and I must bring them in too. The shepherd is an inclusive shepherd. There's a drama about Abraham Lincoln, and a woman says to Lincoln, Mr. President, have you heard the good news? In the latest battle, we suffered 800 casualties and the enemy 2,700. How splendid. Splendid, replied Lincoln. That's 3,500 souls are lost. Oh, Mr. President, he said, you must not look at it that way. Only 800 of them counted. And replied Lincoln, Madam, the world is much bigger than your heart. We have a good shepherd who is inclusive. And a good shepherd also sacrifices. And Jesus worded it this way. The shepherd lays down his life for a sheep. Lay down your life for a worthless animal? It hardly seems reasonable. That is, until we remember that we are the sheep. That's who he's talking about. We're the worthless ones. It's called atonement. Break it down into the syllables. Atonement, at one with. The shedding of one's blood on behalf of another who doesn't deserve it. One Russian man abandoned Marxism for Christianity, insisted that it was not theology or history or the church that caused his conversion. He was present at a concentration camp in Nazi Germany when the Nazis were killing Jews in the gas chambers. One distraught mother, whose first name was Maria, saw that the officer in charge was really only interested in numbers. So without a single word, Maria was pulled aside by an unknown woman who took her place. So powerful was that image that it turned the Russian toward the Christ who sacrificed his life for all humanity. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. You don't have a life worth living for if you don't have a cause worth dying for? Have you ever heard that? You don't have a life worth living for if you don't have a cause worth dying for. If we're to follow the shepherding model as laid down by Jesus, then sacrifice must be part of our faith. It means that the shepherd must now lay down her life for a worthless and undeserving society. It's not enough that we simply remain sheep. Christ is calling us into the role of shepherd. Jesus asked Simon Peter one day, this is a resurrection story, "Peter, do you love me?" "Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." This happened 3 times. Some people think that it was Jesus' way of restoring Peter, who had denied him 3 times, gives him 3 times the opportunity to tell him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." But Jesus replied each time. Then his reply was, "Feed my sheep, take care of my lambs." If we're to be faithful, there's no alternative. Jesus asks us, just like he asked Simon Peter after he rose from the grave, "Do you love me?" What's your reply? "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And then he looks us in the face and he says, "Be a good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. You become good shepherds." And that's the end of this sermon. And bless us all to live in the light as he is in the light. Amen.